Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
So I do have some notes, but I mean, it's pretty much just my heart poured on a piece of paper to keep me focused, but I do believe it's his heart for today. And when Jackie asked me to share today, I, you know, immediately began to ask the Lord, well, what's on your heart? What do you want to share? I thought of several things that I would like to share, but I know what he told me. And so all week, he continued to not only give me more clarity on that, but to also give me some experiences of that. You know how that goes. There's nothing like being able to share something than by going through something, right? So, so I want y'all to do something for me. I want y'all to lift both hands up as high as you can and hold them there. All right. Now, your right hand, I want you to reach it a little higher. Stretch it a little further. A little further. Another inch, another inch. Now the left hand, a little higher, a little higher. Okay. You can put your hands down. So what I noticed is that I said put your hands up as high as you can and hold them there. But we all could go another inch. And even another inch, and even another inch, and even another inch. And you know, the Lord knows that about us. And there is more. And sometimes we have to be stretched to get to that more. And so today, I encourage you to listen with an open mind, an open heart, open ears. I know you come here to hear the Lord. So that's, you know, goes without saying. But really stretch to hear in a deeper place than you have ever heard before, because I do believe this is a word from the Lord today. So the Lord, as he began to talk to me last week, he told me to talk about trust. He said, I want my people to trust me more than they trust me. But he's not mad or upset, because he knows you're trusting him as much as you can, or you think you're trusting him as much as we think we're trusting him as much as we can. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I'll do it. Everything. But there's more. And maybe the situation comes up and, well, maybe I'm really not trusting you. And he reminded me of a dream that I had probably 15 years ago. And I was standing on a roof, which I'm afraid of heights. Okay, so that was already quite an accomplishment. And I was standing on the roof, and I was in the middle of the roof. And Jesus was on the ground, and I could see him way over there. And he said, come to the edge. I want you to jump and trust that I'm going to catch you. Now, I mean, when I gave my life to the Lord 20 years ago, I got radically saved. I was like, yes, let's do this. We're going to take the world for God. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll jump in a volcano. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I was just fearless. Well, at least I thought I was fearless, okay? Had all these grandiose feelings of just complete surrender and devotion, and I still feel that. But yet, over the years, there's been a lot of things where I'm like, well, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, I said I would do that? I said I would die for you? Oh, but you want me to live for you and do that? I'd rather just die, thanks. You know, it's like it's almost easier to just die, okay? So living and doing those things is harder. So I'm on the roof, and he says, come to the edge and trust that I'm going to catch you. So I come, I'm like this because I'm just like panicking in fear, right? And I'm getting to the very edge, and so finally I get to the edge, you know, and I'm like this. And he said, okay, now turn around, and I want you to fall backward and trust that I'm going to catch you when you can't see me there. Oh my goodness. Like, this was, and you know how dreams are so real. Like, you're sweating, your heart's pounding, you're just like, I'm paralyzed. This is God. And either I trust him or I don't. Either I'm going to obey him or I'm not. And my heart is to be fully surrendered in full obedience to do whatever he asks me to do. So there's not an option here. There's no option. And I turn around and I fall backwards off that roof. And I'd love to tell you that I just floated effortlessly into his hands. But I didn't. I kicked and screamed and panicked. And I woke up in the middle of it. But I know he caught me, you know. But it showed me that I didn't have the trust, you know. And will we ever get to that point where we can just, like, totally fall off a roof? I don't know. But there's always more. Until we're there, there's always more. And he just wants to continue to stretch us to that. So I do want to acknowledge, being the first day of Elul, something I found about that, because he did bring that to my attention. He said it's the first day of the last day, the first day of the last month. And I didn't even click that was today, the first of Elul. So I looked it up, and here's something I found. It says, as the last month of the Jewish year, Elul is traditionally a time of introspection and stocktaking, a time to review one's deeds and spiritual progress over the past year and prepare for the coming days of awe of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I said, wow. As the month of divine mercy and forgiveness, it is a most opportune time for the quest for self-improvement and coming closer to God. Specific customs include the daily sounding of the shofar as a call to repentance and the custom of reciting 3 chapters of the Psalms per day. So if you would like to do that this month, that is a custom. And then on Yom Kippur, they do that until Yom Kippur and then read the remaining 36 chapters on that day. And it's also a time to have one's, and I may say this wrong, some who are more knowledgeable in this history, to have one's tefillin and mezuzahs checked by an accredited scribe to ensure that they are in fit condition for use. And so I was like, what is that? So the tefillin is, this is kind of funny, it just kind of summed it up and then it went into more detail. It's basically something that they would strap on their arms, strap on their head, and it would be on their arm near their heart, and it would have cords on it that they would pull together as if to wrap them together, right? So it summed it up like this. It says, you have a brain, it is in one world. You have a heart, it's in another world. And your hands often end up involved in something else completely foreign to both your brain and your heart. So you have 3 diverse machines going on, right? So you put on tefillin. First thing in the day, you connect your head, your heart, and your hand with these cables to work as one with one intent dedicated to the service of the Almighty. And then when you go out to meet the world, all of your actions find harmony in a single coordinated purpose. And I loved that when I read that, because that is truly what we need to do. Lord, I trust you today. Here's my schedule. Here's my plan. I invite you to interrupt it. And let my head, my heart, and my hands all be connected everywhere I go and what I do, right? And the mezuzahs are, this was cute the way they phrased this. It's the little box they put that the Hebrews and Jewish put on their door, right? So it says it's a home security device called a mezuzah. And it's wired into the capitalized Ultimate Protection Agency. God has commanded us, you shall inscribe them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates. It was a parchment scroll inscribed with the verses of a prayer affixed to the right doorpost of every room in a Jewish home. In addition to its role as a declaration and reminder of our faith, it's also a symbol of God's watchful care. The name of God, which appears on the reverse side of the parchment, is an acronym, Shaddai, is an acronym for the Hebrew word which means guardian of the doorways of Israel. Placing a mezuzah on the doors of a home or office protects its inhabitants, whether they are inside or out. And I began to see how this really speaks about trusting God. Okay, I'm taking my hands, my heart, and my brain. And I am connecting them together for your purpose and your purpose alone. And I'm trusting your divine protection over me everywhere I go. And I'm totally conscious of the Lord and his presence and his purposes and his protection with me throughout every day. So it just made sense when I realized that that was what today was. That's the beginning of that month, that it makes sense that he wanted me to talk about trust. So trust is learned through experiences. And often, pretty much always, it's formed when we're young, usually between the ages of 0 and 3, as a matter of fact. And so during that time, there's basic trust that is forming within us. But in our society today, we can see how the enemy has come in, and he has totally wreaked havoc on the family. Those whom little children and babies ought to be able to trust the most, they're not getting their needs met, you know? And some of it is abuse. Some of it is neglect. Some of it is a society that demands two parents that work all the time and are never there, and the child's always with the babysitter, or, you know, things like that. Because the little message that we get is like, oh, well, the job is more important and the money is more important than me. I'm not that important, and I can't trust them to be here for me. Like, we don't even consciously form those things, but we do. And so our basic trust can be really messed up all the way from when we're a kid. And then that basic trust, if it's not formed, it ends up affecting, or if it is formed, it ends up affecting, it's like the foundation. And everything else for the rest of your life is built on that. And so your ability to have relationships with people is impacted and trust people. Your ability, even in a marriage, to truly trust a spouse is affected. You know, oh, yes, I love you, but we don't realize we're loving them like this because we're not letting anybody in here. Not letting anybody in that place because other people weren't there for me. You really won't be either, you know, so let's just keep it like this, you know. And so intimacy is affected in marriages. Intimacy with God is affected because it does cross over to our relationship with God because, well, you know, my own parents weren't there for me, or so I perceived, even if they really were, you know, God probably won't be there for me either. You know, that's how we often relate to the Father. So I remember one time years ago, I was having coffee and I had a dog. Her name was Gabby. She was about 40 pounds, and she would come jump up in my lap or whatever, and all of a sudden she rolled over on her back, and she started just, I was scratching her belly, and she kept kind of leaning and leaning and leaning, and pretty soon her head is, like, going off the couch, and, like, I got my hand under her head, and she's just kind of pushing back, and I'm thinking, if my hand wasn't here, this dog would hit the floor, and just the whole body weight was holding into my hand, and I heard the Lord say to me, Mary, I want you to trust me like that. You know, and how about a recliner? I'll rock, or this chair. I'll just walk right over here to this chair, and I'll just totally trust this chair is going to hold me. I didn't even question it. Didn't even think about it. I've reclined back in a recliner. I don't even question it. Why? Because my experience has shown me that it is going to be there for me. It is going to hold me. Flip on a light switch. It's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, I'm shocked. Oh, what happened? You know? How come these lights aren't working? You know, because there's a full expectation. So if we have had expectations that haven't been met over the years, then our ability to trust in those areas is greatly affected. And so, like I said, it affects our ability to trust God as well. We can say we trust, but that can get tested. So look at Peter, for example, when he was, you know, he's like, I'll die for you, you know, I mean, that's it, I'm gonna be there for you forever, right? And of course, when the opportunity came, the pressure came, the caring what people think, the risk of being rejected, not so much. I don't know who you're talking about, you know? And we fall into that. I think we all right now are remembering times where we're like, okay, you know what, I didn't trust like I should have. Maybe it was something he told you to give away, or money to give, or anything where you were tested, you were put to that test. And we fear, once we do that, now we're afraid we're going to mess up. So now, well, I don't know if that was God, so I better not do it. Right? And shame and guilt and self-hatred can even come in because we're like, well, but I let you down, God. Like, I know you wanted me. When I was in that grocery store 20 years ago, I saw the lady in the wheelchair, and you told me to pray, and I didn't, and that lady probably never walked, and it's all my fault. And for 20 years, I'm crippled, and I'm frozen, and I'm paralyzed, and I'm not walking out my destiny because I just feel so inadequate. But you know what? God is a forgiving. Today is, what did it say? A day of divine mercy and forgiveness. That is Elul, okay? And of course, we know divine mercy and forgiveness is available all the time. But that's, I really felt like the Lord was saying today. He said, I want my people to go to the next level and to take this moment to begin a journey of searching, and let it be a consistent journey for the rest of your life, really. God, is there anything in me? Is there anywhere I'm not fully trusting, or things that have caused me not to trust, or areas where I know I'm not doing what you have called me to do because I'm not walking in the fullness of my destiny because I haven't been able to trust. And I loved when Nathan came up, by the way, and he ended with, you know, in God we trust. I mean, I just got a big smile on my face because, you know, we say it, in God we trust, but do we? Do we really trust? Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways he will make your paths straight. And that word straight, by the way, doesn't just mean like this. And if you guys were at the women's event, I think it was in May that I shared, I mentioned this also. It's not a straight path. It just means level. He'll make it level. So, you know, if you got some hurdles to get over, he'll help bring it down, and he'll bring the low up, and he'll make it level. But you might go this way, and you might go that way, and you might kind of zigzag around. So don't expect that you're just going to go from point A to point B all the time, because if you expect that, it's 9 times out of 10 not going to happen, and then you're going to be disappointed, and then you're going to think you missed God. So we have to learn, I think it was Clay who said, we have to learn to trust in God's faithfulness, and we have to learn to trust in his ability to lead more than trust in our ability to follow. Okay, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It all comes down to we have to be able to hear. We have to be able to hear his voice. Now, even then, when he says something, the ability to trust and do whatever he's saying to do can be the next step of the challenge. But it all starts with hearing his voice and knowing how to hear his voice. And we do that through, of course, the word, and through continually being in his presence and becoming familiar with his character. Then we know when it's him that is speaking with us. So what he really pointed out to me was, you know, he could supernaturally come and heal within you anywhere that basic trust wasn't formed when you were young. He can come in and just create. I'm telling you, I have had areas in my life where I had a mindset that was a certain way, and I went through some prayer and deliverance about that issue, and my whole mindset changed. I no longer saw things from, like, a poverty mindset. Now I saw it from a kingdom wealth mindset. Like, it wasn't like I had to go years of trying to change this mindset. He can just do that, okay? So same thing with basic trust. He can just come in and do it. But a lot of times, he uses the things that are going on in our life to help build that trust and to help stretch us. So many times today in the prayer room as well as in here, I heard, you know, there's things you're going through. You have your own storms that you're going through, your own difficulties, your own challenges that are happening. And that's where, give us the eyes to see what you see. Give us the eyes to look at these storms the way you look at these storms. And so he brought Romans 8:28 to my heart. He said, it's time to refocus, and it's time to recenter what you're seeing and seeing it from my perspective. So Romans 8:28. I'm going to read a translation that might be a little more familiar first, then I'm going to read it in the Passion. He says, and we know that in all things God works for the good, those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So the whole goal is for us to be conformed to the likeness of his son. And of course, we know Jesus was able to walk in complete trust of the Father to the point of death. And so the whole goal is for us to get to that place to be able to trust like Jesus did. So the Passion Translation says this, and I love this. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives, and that word, by the way, in the original text actually means that every detail of our lives means everything, both individually and collectively. So he's talking individual and he's talking corporate here. It's continually woven together, and that word is synergy. So there's a synergy that's created to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share in the likeness of his Son. This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. And that firstborn actually is the prototype. That is the first one that was brought forth, the first one that was delivered. Okay, and you know what he was delivered from? Well, of course, he was delivered by Mary, but he was also delivered from death. The first one delivered from death. And we are to be like him. And to me, that speaks of resurrection power. We are to be delivered from death, of course, when we leave the earth. But we can walk in that resurrection power every day. We have that. He was the firstborn, and we are the many that are coming behind him. So God is really building our foundation, and he is doing a work in us corporately and individually. And I just felt today was really a time for that introspection, for everybody to walk away today with just a refocus on a regular basis of, am I really trusting as much as I can trust? Because if somebody were to ask you before I started today, or even ask me before he showed me this week and said, do you trust God? Be like, well, of course I trust God, you know, but there's more. And when you walk in that more and that deeper level of trust, your intimacy with him goes to a whole new level. And not only when you go through things and he does a work in you and he turns them to the good, not only is it about, do I trust God, but he's learning if he can trust you. And so the more he can trust you with, then the more you'll be given to do or to accomplish or sent out for his good pleasure. And then he just reminded me of some things that the Lord is doing in us corporately and individually through the trust and through the experiences that we are going through. So all the storms in your life right now or recent weeks or recent days or maybe something that's hit just before you got here today, or who knows what it is, all of those things are an opportunity for your tent pegs to be widened, for you to be stretched, Isaiah 54. It's an opportunity for you to be conformed more to Christ's image and die to yourself. Usually the biggest thing that we need to get out of the way and get delivered from is ourself. You know, where are my concepts, my wrong perceptions, my ideas causing me to not see things correctly, therefore not respond to what I think I'm hearing from you correctly. Let's get that out of the way. Let's let him do that. We're learning to suffer long. If we're going to be like him, you know, or we're going to be like Christ, resurrection power, and, you know, but what about the suffering long? You know, the rejection, the things that are given in the life of Christ, the persecution, you know. And here we think, man, I have a destiny and I have this call in my life and I'm trying to walk it out, but I'm in this dead-end job and I hate it here and I hate my boss and God forgive me and, you know, all this and that. And right there in that job, there's a chance to be Christ-like. There's a chance for you to love somebody who's not lovely. There's a chance to trust God like you've never trusted him before. And, you know, like in for me, you know, I know we're all a little different, but I always seem to sense or perceive a shift in an assignment before it happens. So, like, I won't necessarily know what's coming, but I know I'm shifting, and I know I'm getting ready to go from this to that, and that bothers me knowing. I wish I didn't even know until it was time to go. Can you just not tell me anything until it's time to go? Because I don't like that. It's like I don't feel like I fit there anymore, but yet I'm not there yet, and so you're just kind of in this place, and it's very uncomfortable because you want to be faithful here, but you're not yet there. And if you try to jump the gun and get there first, you're probably going to blow the whole thing up. So you can't do that, you know. So it requires that place that maybe was once comfortable. In fact, I just talked to somebody the other day, and I didn't even think about that as I was saying this. She was telling me about her job, and she's like, "Oh," I said, "Do you like what you do?" And she says, "Oh my gosh, I love what I do. I love the company I work for, but I don't like my boss. I just got a new boss 2 months ago, and it's been awful." So she's struggling. She loves everything about it, and she loved it. It was a place of pleasure, a place of enjoyment and purpose and all of that, and now it's drudgery to get up and go there every day, you know? And so she's praying about whether she should stay there or not, and that's what we all need to do. Sometimes it is time to go, but that place every day, you got to get up and just say, "God, I trust you today." And it gives you an opportunity to stretch those trust muscles to a place where you haven't had to. You just haven't had to. I've been going to Pilates classes, and I bought a reformer at home so I could do some Pilates at home. Well, I promise you, when I do them at home, I get a decent workout. But when I go to the class, okay, all right, keep going, all right, crunch those abs, okay, all right, just a few more, 10, 9, I'm like, 10? Oh my goodness, a few more. I thought maybe one or two. Like, I'm about to die. I do not push myself like that. As much as I think I want to and I will at my house, I don't do that. And we won't do it either unless we are in a situation where we have no control here. Like, I know you told me to be here and I don't like it here. So I'm going to trust you here. I mean, it is that gut-wrenching, grueling, deep drawing within you that he wants to stretch. And so learning to suffer long and choosing to drink from the cup. You know, we have to make that decision like Christ did, even in the midst. And what I've learned is we make the decision and we stick to that decision. We may not feel like it. It may not feel good. I remember times, it's kind of like forgiveness. Sometimes if you've been really hurt, you've just got to say, "Lord, I'm choosing to forgive. I'm choosing to forgive. You tell me to forgive. I want to be right with you, and I'm choosing to forgive. I'm choosing to forgive. I'm choosing to forgive." And inside you're like, your feelings are nowhere near there, and you may have to keep doing it every day and every day. You just keep choosing and choosing and choosing. And you choose to trust, and you choose to trust, and you choose to trust, your feelings will catch up. He will do the work in you. It's like when you choose, you invite him to come into that place and do that work that will give you the strength. And gosh, I'm even remembering now as I'm saying this, on a job one time, somebody who just was not very nice to me on the job. And the Lord just told me, "Your job is to love that person." Okay. And it was so hard. And I literally would go home at the end of the day and I would crunch over on my knees on the floor and I would cry. And I'm like, "Can I please quit? Can I please quit this job?" And he'd be like, "No, your job is to love that person." And it was hard. And so over time, I ended up leaving that job by the hand of the Lord, moving me somewhere else. And when I left, that person was no longer at that company by that time. And when I left, I was actually getting ready to move out of town. And they heard that, and they called me and said, "Why don't we have lunch?" So we had lunch. And they told me, they said, "You know, I really enjoyed working with you." I'm thinking, okay. And they said, "You know, because it's not often that you work with people that are really honest and have that much integrity, and you know that when you talk to them, you're going to get the real deal, and you're not getting anything that's not real." I was like, wow. You know, so we just don't know how our life is speaking to people. And that person we might be wanting to run away from, but that person is somebody that God has us right there maybe to be a light and show them something. So we choose to drink from that cup. And we choose to stop seeking the comfortable place and seek the surrendered place. Because that's where your intimacy with the Lord grows more and more. You end up in full alignment with his desires that way. So Graham Cook once said, God allows in his wisdom what he could prevent with his power. And I love that. I remember that often because I'm like, yep, you could do something about this, but you're not. So I guess there's some kind of wisdom going on here. And we can try to hide and to retreat from those difficulties. But the thing is, as difficult and uncomfortable as it is in that place of stretching for growth, if you run from that and you go somewhere and you refuse the will of God and you stay in that place, I promise you, it's going to be more uncomfortable and more difficult, because you're going to just live with the conviction of knowing you're not where you're supposed to be. And just the sadness on the inside of you, because you're not walking in your destiny. You're not being who he called you to be. And there's just an emptiness that comes with that. And there's no end to that. Whereas if we're in his will and it's hard and it's difficult, at least we know he's faithful. He's steadfast. He's true. Whoever got up and read that a little while ago. He is those things, and he can be trusted. And those things are something that you can learn about him by going through. That's how we learn about those things. So I heard something. I read something in the Passion Translation in Isaiah 28. The scripture came to my mind, Isaiah 28:28, where it says that the grain must be ground to make bread. And I've leaned on that scripture a lot over the years when I'm going through. I'm like, okay, we're being ground so we can be bread, so we can feed the multitudes, right? And so I went to that scripture, and I thought, well, let me see what it says in the Passion for this. And so as I read this, I want you to just kind of posture your heart to invite the master farmer to plow up any fallow ground that you have. Because he is doing something in everything if we just let him and we trust him. So he said, hear my voice and listen to my words. Pay close attention to my parable. Does a farmer plow continually at planting time and never plant a crop? Does he continually break open the clods of the ground and never sow his seed? Once he has leveled its surface, does he not sow dill and cumin, planting his wheat in rows and barley in its proper place and rye in a patch? Yes, his God has instructed him and taught him the right way of farming the land. And we are land, right? Dill, a small seed, is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a wagon wheel rolled over cumin. Dill is beaten with a rod and cumin with a stick. Grain is crushed and milled for bread, but it is not threshed endlessly. Thank you, Jesus. One drives the wagon's wheels over it, but his horse's hooves do not pulverize it. This counsel also comes from Lord Yahweh, commander of the angel armies, for his guidance is unfathomable, and the heavenly wisdom he imparts is magnificent. You know, so if we can hang on to that, wisdom is being imparted. His wisdom is unfathomable about what is being done, what is being set up for not just you, but even those who you are called to impart and impact through what you're going through. Just like Jesus going to the cross for the sake of all of us. It's worth whatever you're going through if you know you're in the will of God. So I just want to close with a decree over your lives, and I actually made copies of it so y'all can take one home. When I'm done, I will. Or you can, yeah, when I'm done. Thank you. So I wrote this in 2006, I think, or so, when I was going through a really tough time. There's two of them. The first one is called Trust in the Lord. The back one is called No Fear. I'll just give you guys the fear. But the trust one I'm going to read. This is all scripture, every bit of it. And it's something that I just felt like the Lord said, leave them with this. Because we come here and we decree things and we declare things, and that's great. The majority of it is corporate, and that's good because we come together as the body. But we have a responsibility in our lives to be decreeing and declaring over ourselves. Apostle Jackie gave us some things to decree over ourselves. Was it last week or the week before we got a sheet? And so this is important that we're doing this. And so I just wanted to give this to you guys. So in the area of trusting God, as an exercise to sit before the Lord, decree this over you, that you will trust, and you will trust. The Lord is my, and all the scripture references are on here. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me. I cast my cares on the Lord, and he will sustain me. He will never let the righteous fall. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, in my God in whom I trust. Grain must be ground to make bread, but he does not go on threshing it forever. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, and I have a blank for your name, so I'll just use mine. Oh, Mary, he who formed you, Mary, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Mary, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Who can dwell with the consuming fire? Who can dwell with the everlasting burning? He who walks righteously and speaks what is right, who rejects gain from extortion and keeps his hand from accepting bribes, who stops his ears against plots of murder and shuts his eyes against contemplating evil. This is the man who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. His bread will be supplied and his water will not fail him. Yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws, I will wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of my heart. In that day, I will say, surely this is my God. I trusted in him, and he saved me. This is the Lord. I trusted in him. I will rejoice and be glad in his salvation. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for the mighty procession of your entrance here today, Lord God. Just bringing your presence in here at such an incredible, tangible level for us. And I thank you, Father, for the word that you have given me here to deliver, Lord, that you desire to draw your people into a deeper place of trust, and myself included.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to